What'll happen is if I forget, I still.
No, that's fine.
Right.
I just want to letting you know.
Start it, and then I'll hopefully remember to stop it once I get these things open. Is Krisha back on? Okay, so I'm going to open up. This took me a long time to open up 11 drives. Damn. Okay. Okay, I'm going to get her master tracker open. And then I will go here and I'll open up in this one and Google Drive. Who else said they had something? Gail.
And I think Diana, somebody had a question.
Okay, go for it. Yeah, somebody had a question versus a, yeah, I'll open these that I know of. There was one other person who had a...
oh, she has some runaway horses.
Lab. She has runaway horses? Uh-oh.
And Gail has to leave, so five at 7. That would be 7
so
our time.
Gail and, yeah, Krisha that I... okay, so Krisha's back, and I've got your thing open. Let me go to share, and we'll finish, and then we'll go to Gail. And then we'll give time to whoever else needs, wants time. And, okay, so Master Health Tracker, I opened here. All right, so do we see your Master Health Tracker here? Yes? Yeah? Okay.
Health story, past, present, future.
Yeah, that's the front of it. That's the very first page in it. Let me just get this junk out of the way. All right, so if I go to, and then the other thing I want before I go back to your lab, before our talk in January, I want you to, I'm going to check to see if Annette did. Okay, so I want you to just double check this list of your supplements and make sure it's all correct. And the doses, like this just is, you know, Biotics Flaxseed, it doesn't say how much and what dosage you're taking. Okay.
Well, you know, as I run out of stuff, I've stopped taking it because I thought I'd wait and see what you said or what's, you know, appropriate.
Okay.
Because all this stuff I'm taking,
here that you stopped. If any of them you stopped, you know, say you stopped on 11:30, you know, or 12:02, just put in date stopped here if you've stopped them.
Okay.
And if you're still taking them, just put in the dose, you know, is it drops, is it whatever, milligrams, whatever you can give me.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, because there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of stuff we can get started with from based on this. And based on your glucose number, what's the glucose support? Who's that from?
You.
What's that? Me?
Yeah, from you. I was in sweet spot and I got everything that I was supposed to get and I've been taking it all, berberine and other stuff, but now...
Yeah, I see berberine, but I see glucose support. Is that a particular brand? So what I would do is just fill this in so you have the brand, the supplement, how much you're taking, and if you're taking it regularly or not, like say something you're not taking, yeah, it would help me to have that so then we can pick and choose and see what you've been. So you've been taking like berberine and chromium and all that stuff ever since Sweet Spot?
Yep.
Okay. All right. And the dose is exactly what I've recommended or different?
Just what you recommended.
Okay. All right. We'll go back through this. And then I want to go back to this and just see if there's a couple of other things and see if there's any other labs I would like you to get before we meet. Is that okay?
That's good.
Because there's a few, uric acid's fine, bun is there. So this is what I picked up on as well as Annette picking up on that being an indicator, that yellow, the 9, the bun, possibly low stomach acid. Your protein and all that is okay. Iron is low. And we talked about those numbers. Your thyroid, are you on thyroid medication?
No.
No. Okay. So 244, 8.9. These look good. Free thyroxine index. Total T3. This is probably 1.3 seems off by a factor of a lot. So this we'll have to look at to see why that's so off. Yeah, I'll look at the numbers before we meet. But these, I think these are just errors. Your free T3 is really good. This might have been, this might actually be what's supposed to be here, because that number looks like it's right for the free T4. So we'll look to see if that was just put in the wrong place. And no antibodies. So, you know, thyroid-wise, you look really good.
I fixed it. It was really, really low years ago, and I went to a naturopath.
It looks great now. So that part's fit. So that, I think the blood sugar is a big part of the weight stuff, mm-hmm. and we have to look to see why. The white blood cells are a little low. The red blood cells are a little high. That could be a little dehydration. It's just slightly off. Given the glucose, the hemoglobin. Yeah, overall, you've got red blood cell, neutrophils. Here we go. You might, it actually might be more of a viral and parasite than a bacterial based on these numbers.
But would that be going on for 35 years?
It could, if you have like an EBV or, you know, some sort of like a herpes that's buried in your, you know, goes latent and then it comes out. There's a lot of viral things. CMG, there's a lot of them that could be latent for a long time.
Right.
Yeah. I think that stool test would be a good thing for you. There's no sign of autoimmune. The blood sugar and the immune system are the two pieces I'm seeing issues with here. Be good to see your ferritin compared to your iron. Your iron's a little low. Let's see if your ferritin is also low, then it's a simple iron deficiency anemia, easy to address. But if your iron is low and your ferritin is high, it could be some sort of inflammatory process or a melatonin deficiency or any number of other imbalances. So I would get the ferritin. Your D is decent. It could be a little higher. So are you taking D?
I'm taking huge amounts of D, and I have been for a long time.
Yeah, so a slight bit more. You probably have, now I have to go back here to find it, but you probably have some vitamin D SNPs that make you more.
Both my father and my mother, I don't convert the sunlight into D.
So you don't need a tremendous amount more, but you're not in optimal level. So if you are taking 10,000, increase it to 12,000.
Okay.
Just go up by maybe 20%. Okay. I don't know. I'll look at your thing real quick to see supplements current if it's listed, but you don't have it listed here. So make sure that this is totally up to date so that when we meet, we have real efficient use of our time and we compare everything. This is your supplement list.
Oh, D was there and B12 was there and there were lots more there. So I don't know where they've gone, but anyway, eat more.
Interesting.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do it again.
Yeah, go through here and make sure it's all up to date. And then if you know when you started it approximately, you don't have to have the exact date, but like spring 2014, you know, summer 2018, whatever. And then when you stopped it approximately, fall 2018, whatever. So I get an idea of how long you were on it and how it was working potentially. And then the dosages. So I would up your vitamin D by about 20%.
The chiropractional, you know, a chiropractor
said the same.
He just said the same, yeah. Up the vitamin D and the B12. I think there's a B12 SNP.
Yeah, but your B12, your MCV is looking okay. I bet I don't have a homocysteine. So that's the other thing. So I would redo homocysteine and ferritin. Okay, and let's see. This is recent. This is just a couple of weeks ago or a week ago. So it's very recent. And that would get, so here's the other indicator of a functional indicator of B12 status. And you're right. MCV. You know, you're right at the border. I mean, I think it wouldn't hurt necessarily to take B12 because you're, well, let's see. Yeah, you probably are because your MCV is dependent on your level of B12, folate, and of iron mostly. The MCV will go up when you're deficient in folate or B12. It'll go down if you're deficient in iron. So you're deficient in iron, but it's not showing a low. It's showing at the high end of normal. So my guess is that if your iron was fixed, this would go up, and that would indicate B12. So the B12 is a good thing for you. B12 and D. Mm-hmm. And you're eating plenty of green leafies and stuff to get the folate. And that's, there's not a lot of yucky stuff in here. Right. So, but I think the stuff that is out of balance could affect the experience that you've been having. Right. So really addressing, I know you've been through sweet spot. I think we need to just review your charts really carefully and see what things are creating the issue. And it could be a chronic infection. That's a constant level of cortisol. It could be high levels of cortisol or too low levels of cortisol. And we'll see that in your Dutch, which should be back within a week or so. Okay.
Brilliant.
Okay. There's one more thing I just want to do a quick look at and then we'll switch over to Gail. Is Krishna Labs. I just want to open up again you had blood spot fatty acids because this is something I can easily give you some action items right now. Maybe not. I don't think it's a fatty acid problem. That looks pretty balanced. It's rare for me to see these really. Are you taking any DHA EPA supplement?
No.
No? Wow, you're doing a really good job of converting. Probably the best job of converting I've seen.
I mean, I'm taking omegas, yes.
Okay, yeah, what kind?
Oh, I vary them from time to time. I always try and take the best, either fish or...
Okay. Vegan. So that's why we're seeing this. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And do you eat like flax, chia, walnuts, hemp, those sorts of things? You said you do hemp, I know.
I do chia daily.
Yeah.
But I just threw the hemp away after I took the Viome.
Okay, well...
Report out. I threw loads of cucumbers out and... I just suddenly thought, well, what if I've been poisoning myself?
Absolutely. And there is a way that you can actually do an elimination diet for a few weeks, eliminate the things that are in your bad list and see how it goes.
Yeah.
But upload that to me and we'll talk about that.
Right.
It doesn't hurt to try. But yeah, whatever you're doing with your fats, your omegas, you're doing a good job. So keep doing it. Okay.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Right. Good. I look forward to talking to you next month. So make sure we have all that information. And Lynn, will you just jot down what I said to her that we need? Make sure and jot it down and get it to me and we'll put it in one of those private coaching forms. Okay? All right. Great. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'll be leaving.
You're welcome. Have fun with your friends.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you too.
Oh, see you tomorrow maybe anyway. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, I won't see you though.
Oh, okay.
Right? Because it's a one-way street on the
vital. We'll see you again.
But I'll see you. And we'll definitely see you face-to-face in early January and all that. Make sure you get the information and come to Lynn's vision board workshop. It's going to be fun. The 4th or 3rd? Or?
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Well, the email should be going out either today or Monday. Today. She's setting it up now. And it would go out, if you check your ERC newsletter that came out today, it was listed in there.
Oh, okay, will do. January 3rd, my mom's birthday.
January 5th. It'll be the 5th.
Oh, it's 5th, okay.
Yeah. All right.
All right, thank you very much. Bye. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Okay, so Gail...
Oops. Hi.
Hi. And we were going to look at your...
So I've got I you said you had the Dutch test.
Yes, that's right.
I've taken the doctor's data, parasite times three, and I took a thyroid test, and I just got it today that said it came back, but I haven't looked at it. I did a 23andMe. And so all of those things, I don't know how many things went to you. I think you told me the other day
The Dutch for sure. I saw it the other day.
I can't hear you.
Oh, you can't hear me? Is everybody else not hearing me too?
Oh, there you go. No. Marcia fixed me. Thank you.
She had your volume off, so the both of you weren't echoing each other probably, right?
Yes. Yes, that's what happened.
Yeah, let me go here, and here's your Dutch test complete. I'm going to open it, and I'm going to share my screen. Share, and Dutch test complete. So much better when the computer actually cooperates and doesn't sit there spinning.
Tell me about it.
Oh my gosh, it was so awful. All right, so Dutch test complete. Yeah, I looked at this the other day. So let me just explain to you a little bit, and everybody, you know, it doesn't hurt to explain these over and over just what they're giving, because, you know, you're not a clinician, and sometimes it's like, okay, what did she say that meant? These are the dials, right? And the area, if you're postmenopausal, which I'm assuming you are, otherwise you're a little bit of a anomaly, you know, for not being postmenopausal, and I'd be super careful if I were you and not postmenopausal. So here is the number. So this little purple box is the range for postmenopausal. Between the stars is the range for premenopausal. Obviously, we have a lot more estrogen and progesterone before we go through menopause. That's what menopause means. You're at the very low end for the estrogen, the very low end for the progesterone. This is just the summary page, right? Okay. I'm going to show you the more detail because there's a bunch of different metabolites of the estrogen that are important. And then the testosterone, you're in the, you know, it's like 25 percentile. So all of your sex hormones are on the low side.
Yep.
This is the again, the summary of the thyroid pattern. It should be within these high and low ranges, and you're the red. So you can see you're really ideal when you first get up in the morning, and then you crash in the middle of the morning into the afternoon. Your levels go way down when they should be going up. So given you started here, you should be right around here. You see where my line is right there? You should be right there if you followed that same line and look where you are. Do you find that you crash at the... Did I start the recording again?
I don't know.
Yes, it's recording.
She said
okay,
yes.
Thank you. Just making sure. So do you find that late morning, early afternoon, do you find that you have like a low in your energy then? Like you're okay when you get up, but then you go, ugh.
You know, I don't. I tend to start, mornings are better for me than afternoons and evenings. I find I'm tired when I get up, and then but I can slog through the day until around 4 or 5 o'clock, and then I just want to be home sitting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, so you're definitely in a stage 3 adrenal fatigue, I would say, even though your morning level is in the normal range, your total across the 24-hour period, you see this here, total free cortisol, that's the amount, it's a very small fraction of the total cortisol produced, but that's the amount that's circulating, that's active, and you're low. You're at a 74. The amount that you are metabolizing, making, is actually higher than that.
Wow.
All right. So you're up there and you're getting rid of more than you're keeping. And so we want to look at why, and we'll look through the rest of this test to see why. And your DHEA is really low. So the fact that you're, this says you're in a stage 3, and there's a number of things we can do to help pull you out of a stage 3.
Good.
Okay. These are just the numbers. We don't need to go through the numbers. I like pictures. I'm much better off with pictures, because with pictures, you can actually see graphically how you look versus looking at the numbers and trying to figure it all out. And I'm a math person and I don't like looking at the numbers. So I can imagine, you know, the rest of you going, yeah. So, pregnenolone. Remember I mentioned to Krishya that cholesterol is right above pregnenolone, right above here. Cholesterol gets converted here. And a lot of times we see people with high cholesterol and low sex hormones. And for you, I don't remember. We can look real quick at your, let me go back here and just make sure I have your master tracker open so I can look to see. I don't remember what your cholesterols were. Yeah. I wish I could just, you know, have a photographic memory and remember everybody's tests. And like after I've seen like five in a week, it's like, who had that one and who had that one? So forgive me if I don't have all your stuff memorized, but okay. I wish I could, but it just isn't.
That's okay. I don't expect that.
Mm-hmm. I can't even remember my own, let alone. Okay, so 827 is when you had this done. And then you said you have some recent thyroid numbers, which we can look at. And
I don't have them with me.
Okay. All right.
My computer.
Yeah, so your cholesterol's high. Okay. And Lynn, if you don't mind taking some notes for me on this, you know, if you take it in a Word, in a Google Doc or something, I can just put it in her doc or find hers. So let's see. Here's hers. Here we go. But if I try to write and talk at the same time, it's not going to be so efficient. So you know where to find this, right, in her thing. So just if you go down to, you know, create a new entry, I'll do it right here. We got 12-14-18, and then it's going to be roadmap day. And then I'll remember how we did it. And if you, whoops, it could be nice if I knew how to spell.
Don't worry.
Type, but anyway, but if you can just go in there and, you know, put some notes in this comp, this over here, like what suggestions I have for her. That way I can just focus right here on the lab. Yeah. So if we look here, and we look back at your here. Okay. Yeah. So I'm thinking because your cholesterol is high and your downstream, everything else is low, that this conversion from cholesterol to pregnenolone may not be working properly. So let's try vitamin B5, pantothenic acid, 500 milligrams three times a day. Now start with 500 milligrams once a day and then go to twice a day. You know what I mean? Whenever we're doing this, especially if you're a sensitive type that, you know, you have to go slow, just go slow with stuff, right? And hopefully that's going to give you a little bit more oomph to make some more cortisol to get you, well, not to make it, but yeah. Well, yeah, actually, to make it. All right, let me go back here. Let's see what else. So DHA is low. Testosterone is just a little higher than that. This over here tells us whether we have 5-alpha, 5-beta. You're tending towards this side, the left side, which is the 5-beta, without, you know, going through a complete explanation of what that is, which will take too long and you'll lose it anyway. Basically, sometimes that's a suggestion of liver congestion.
Ooh.
So we want to look and we'll look at your other labs and see if there's some liver congestion going on there. And if I look at some of your liver numbers, you know, cholesterol certainly is a function of liver function. Yeah, your alk-phos is a little bit high. So I think there's some issues, some, you know, like your liver could use a little bit of help. And the one of the things that I would recommend there would be get some milk thistle seed extract from Z Natural Foods. It comes in a bag and you can just add a scoop to your smoothies. You can add a little bit to your a salad dressing. You just do it, you know, throughout as food, right? Just add it to your food supply. Milk thistle is super, super supportive of liver function and helps to reduce those elevated enzymes and improve the function.
And what would be the ideal amount per day?
You know, anywhere from a teaspoon to a tablespoon, but, you know, just start and make sure your gut tolerates it. Start with a half teaspoon. Go to a teaspoon and just see, you know, if you get to a point where you go, that stuff's a little too heavy for me when it gets to two teaspoons, then go back to a teaspoon and a half or a teaspoon, but somewhere in that range. We don't, you know, never know exactly. You're small, so you don't need huge amounts, right? And then back here, that's that. You know, progesterone is on the low side. It's not out of range low. I've definitely seen them below the purple. But, you know, it'd be nice to have it in a hefty size. But let's look to see what the estrogens and all are. This ratio between the estrogens is fairly decent. I would like to have your estriol a little higher just because estriol is so protective. And it's good for vaginal lubrication and can help with sex drive and those sorts of things that happen at menopause. A couple of things you can consider here for this is, and you don't have a history of breast cancer, right? I mean, there's a bunch of people in this program that do, right?
I do not.
Okay, so.
Okay.
Let me just look at the ratios first. Yeah, so you're going to need some more in the way of cruciferous vegetables.
Boy.
You eat a lot? Oh, then I would get, when you order from Mountain Rose Herbs, order broccoli sprout powder and just start adding more cruciferous, more of the concentrated. Broccoli sprout powder has the most. Are you eating most of your cruciferous cooked or raw?
Raw.
You are doing like in smoothies and stuff?
I do. And then, but I also eat it. You know, maybe in the evening I'll have it cooked, but, you know, in the morning or day, mm-hmm. I have it raw.
Okay. So when you do your cooked, here's a trick to make them more protective of the estrogen cycles or sulforaphane. And the way that you would do that would be you chop them and then you let them sit in the pot for a little while, like 45 minutes while you do something else. And then you go back and steam them. There's a particular enzyme in there that converts the inactive form of the sulforaphane to the active form. Sulforaphane is that protection in this pathway, right? It helps protect with the estrogens and it helps to increase liver detox, et cetera. But the enzyme breaks down with heat. So if you cook it, you just put it in the pot and cook it right away, that enzyme breaks down and we don't get that conversion and we don't get those nice levels of sulforaphane. But if you let it sit, that enzyme will work and convert the sulforaphane as long as you chop it. And when we eat, we chop it with our teeth or we do it with the blender. It's the chopping that activates that myrosinase. It's what it's called. And it converts it to sulforaphane. The good news is sulforaphane is not heat sensitive. So once you've got that action, you just steam up your veggies and do it as usual. Like last night I did, I chopped them up and then I let them sit in the pot and then I steamed them and then I put it in the blender and I made this nice creamy, you know, Thai coconut creamy soup, right? And I got the benefit of raw, but I wanted cooked. I wanted warmth. It was cold, right? So that's a really great way to do things.
Okay. Didn't know that.
Because you've got this 4-hydroxy, which is the more carcinogenic one. Now, the good news is you don't have a lot of estrogen, but it's still the ratio. You've got a lot of the real good protective, right? Which you see up here, it should be between 60 and 80, and yours is 78. Excellent, the green, right?
Oh,
so
okay.
Excellent. But this, the red, is 17%, and it should be between 7.5 and 11. The lower, the better. All right. So we want to help that. And that's very much helped with this. I mean, there's supplements you can take, DIM and I3C. I'm more about let's try food first.
Okay.
And it just becomes easy. It's just to like throw the scoop in. I'm making a smoothie anyway. Just, you know, it's one more little thing to throw in your smoothie.
Okay.
Now, the other thing is I want you to really work on your bone density, bone health, because this 16, while it's also a little bit carcinogenic, not as bad as the 4. It also has this favorable effect on bone density. You know, they say once you hit menopause and your estrogens go down and you have more of a risk of osteoporosis, it's this particular component that goes down and creates that. So I want you to really look at in the nutrition module of the BFF, right? The Body Feeding Foundations, there's a whole thing called Eating for Bone Health.
Okay,
so go through that. There's a booklet that I put together. There's a video, and then there's a recipe guide. And the recipe guide has like simple smoothies that are fortified with some of the bone-boosting nutrients and bone-boosting herbs.
Okay.
So one of them would – did we do a vital show on eating for bone health or no? Did we? Okay, so also in the vital archives – there's a video of me making bone supportive foods.
Okay.
So really just focus on bringing those things up. The ones I like are, you're already doing green smoothies. You're already doing that. That's great. But add some nettles and horsetail and alfalfa to those smoothies. And now you're going to increase it. And I've had people who are on, you know, a diet that pales in comparison to yours, let's just say, and decided all she was willing to do was add a green smoothie and these nutrients to it and not do any of the other stuff. And her bone density improved in 6 months.
Whoa.
Improved. Okay. And then she told me just, and this is 10 years ago, she's a friend of mine. She says, you know, remember when you consulted me and told me what to do? She said, I just got my bone density done again and it hasn't gone down in 10 years. And she wasn't willing to give up the alcohol. She wasn't willing, you know, so it didn't continue to increase, but she got it to increase, improve somewhat, and then stabilize for 10 years. And so they wanted her on Fosamax. She went back to the doctor. He's going, wow, it's 10 years later and you're still not on Fosamax. Wow, this is cool. Okay. So just read through that at your leisure. Start throwing some of that stuff into your smoothies. And there's all kinds of instructions in there on doses and everything else. And just make it another, you're good with your food. You're good at following instructions with food. So just let's fortify it up a bit to help improve your bones.
Excellent.
Got it?
Yeah.
Yes. But you can see, like, even on these wheels, right? That's why I love the wheels. On the 16, you're below the ideal range. And on the 4, you're way at the top of the range. So we're just going to shift that. We're just going to shift it using food as medicine. Okay?
Yes.
Your methylation is low. And did you get your 23andMe done yet?
I did get it, but I had it done. I don't know if I've gotten it yet.
Yeah, it takes like 6 weeks usually.
Oh, it does. Okay,
then yeah, it takes a long time. So we'll look to see what your methylation things are. And I don't want to just blanketly recommend some methylation stuff for you until I see that, just because you have a tendency to anxiety and depression, and I don't want to aggravate that. So I want to see your genetic tendencies, and then we can make some specific recommendations based on that. Because this COM-T here is probably maybe low, it may be high. I don't want to take a chance.
Okay. Right?
I think that's enough for now. You know, another thing we could consider down, you know, let's get these in stage, but maybe stage 2 would be to look at getting you some pregnenolone. Which is that precursor. And it comes, this company here, I had one here somewhere, this one, Biomatrix. They make estrogen, progesterone, and DHEA and pregnenolone. They make all 4 of them in these little bottles. And the estrogen is estriol, so it's a safer form of estrogen. But right now, your numbers aren't so far off that I would even recommend that. I would rather see you go upstream. And I would recommend some pregnenolone and maybe DHEA. And just short term, just to like boost you up short term. And it may give you some more energy too. You know, because the cortisol displaces the DHEA. Right? But if you take too much DHEA, you can displace the cortisol. So we're talking teeny, teeny, tiny bits. Like on DHEA, we're talking like 1 drop 2 or 3 times a day. Like seriously 1 drop. You're just going to open this up, put 1 drop under your tongue a couple times a day.
Okay.
And that's it. And that's just going to be like food for this pathway.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yes.
Because over time, your stress has caused your ability to make these hormones to deplete. And so the DHEA is very low because you were making the cortisol. So important along the lines of all this is that you stay in the mindfulness practices. So the meditation, yoga, stopping yourself when you start to feel like you're getting anxious and doing your breathing and your appreciation and doing your heart math breaks at least 5 times a day like we did in Sweet Spot.
Okay.
Because if we continue the stress, like the body needs to produce this cortisol for all those reasons.
Oh.
And we try to address it. We're just band-aiding it. We're just fire hosing it. Right. Okay. So we want to, the underlying cause is to really get you into more mindfulness practices, keep the stress levels down, and then band-aid it for now, but then your body will balance itself out.
Okay.
Right.
I can do that.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
You mentioned pregnenolone and then DHEA. DHEA, you said the one 2 to 3 times a day, but I didn't hear you saying.
A little higher. I would go like 12 drops 2 or 3 times a day.
Of the pregnenolone.
Of the pregnenolone. It's still a really low dose because if you look at a lot of the oral pregnenolone supplements, people are going on 100 milligrams. My concern with taking too much of those, when you're replacing any kind of hormones, you want to do it at a physiologic level that just fills the gap between what your body's currently doing and what it we ought to have. But if you do too much, it goes into what's called the negative feedback loop. And it sends a signal to the gland that said, hey, we're good. Shut down. We don't need to be making anymore. And right. So over time, that can suppress your own production. So I get really upset when I see people taking like 50 milligrams of DHEA and 100 milligrams of pregnenolone, because I'm scared, like, you're going to be dependent on that forever, because when you stop, your body will really have a hard time because it's been suppressed for so long. Same thing with thyroid replacement. We want to be on the minimum amount of it and then be working on fixing the underlying. Make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Let me look at the next page in here and then we'll go. So you've got a lot of the inactive. There is, I'm going to be able to look. I want to look when you get your, there's this particular enzyme that's controlled by one of the genes. Let me see. I did not wake up in the night. Waking ample. Let me just look real quick.
I have ancestry.com. I did that one.
Oh.
And that's on there. And then the reason I did the 23andMe was because I couldn't put in the information of ancestry.com. It would only accept 23andMe. So I went ahead and did the 23andMe. And,
but Lynn, you told me, I thought that they will, you can.
I called them. They said no. So I don't know.
Well, you can't do it in 23andMe, but you can, let me see, Dutch.
Ancestry.com.
You can use the raw data, right?
Right. You get the raw data and then you upload it to, because I did that with my kids. I did Ancestry.com and then uploaded it to, I think it was Metabolic Healing.
Oh, wait, here we go. Ancestry.DNA, Prometheus. Oh, yeah, no, remember I ran these for you. I ran these. You gave me the link to that, and I ran these when we talked.
Yeah, don't remember that.
Yeah, now I'm remembering it. Now that you say it. Okay, let me look at this, because then I can look real quick. So this is what I want to look at, is your methylation. Yeah, no, we're not going to give you methyl groups right now. We're going to start with some, let me look at your numbers here. Hydroxy, probably B12. Or adenosyl for the mitochondria. Give me a second. Let me look here. MCV. Yeah. Yeah, I would go with adenosyl B12. And I'm pretty sure you can get that at Seeking Health. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Adenosyl B12, and just start with whatever the lowest doses you can, and then we'll work it up. I would wait a while to get those, see if that helps you get those numbers up, and then we'd play with the B12. Let me see if I wrote that in here.
So I misunderstood. Did you want me to get the B12 and work with it now, or you said don't?
No, see here, did you do these back on the 19th? That's when I met with you, right? We said switch to B minus on the Seeking Health, because you're already taking, I remember this now, you're taking a B complex.
Yeah.
And I was concerned with the amount of the methyl groups, because I did look at your COMT and I went, whoa. And I know you have a tendency that's, for anxiety, that's a big piece of your picture, right?
Okay.
So this is, yeah, it's right here.
Okay.
Okay, this one, we're not going to, see, I said do this after being on it for a couple of weeks and then really watch. So I would go back to this stuff that I recommended here on 1119.
Okay.
Lynn will give you a link to this chart.
Okay.
In there. Yeah, and then I asked you to run it through this. So if you go to geneticdetoxification.com.
That's the one that wouldn't take it, I think.
Oh, that wouldn't take it?
I called them.
It only did the 23. Okay, so once the 23andMe comes back, we'll run it. So the genetic genie did. Okay, great. All right, so that's on the way. Good. Okay.
Sorry.
The thyroid in the bonus labs.
Yep, and I did that.
Yeah, so you got the, that's what you just got back was the thyroid. Okay. Okay, good. All right, so since you don't have it back yet, what I would do is once you get it back, put it in the tracker, and then on, you know, whatever our first call is in January. It's probably in the first, I don't know if our private call is as then or I don't remember, but I know we will have probably a group call before that. And thyroids are easy. They only take a little bit of, you know, they take me 5-10 minutes to interpret and we'll look at that.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Absolutely. Right. So I would go back. You'll see it in the notes here and just incorporate the stuff that we've talked about so far. Yes. I was concerned. I said adenosyl B12. From Seeking Health. It looks like I didn't do the typo corrections, like I said, but there that is. And I can take this out and I just self-add the link to the genetics interpretation report and the B. Okay, so I already put those in. I just didn't take that out. All right, yeah.
Okay.
All right, so you've got some food stuff, you've got some supplement stuff, and you know, just go through this and make your appointment with Lynn.
Okay.
To, you know, to really go through and help you organize this into a plan because, you know, it can be overwhelming. There's a lot of stuff here.
And I actually have written an email. I didn't want to overwhelm everybody. So it will go out next week with the link.
Oh, good.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, good. You put the link to, she put the link in there too, to the Seeking Health. And nice. Then, cool. So well, usually what I do is I organize this by supplements and then I put all the supplements below it. So, you know, since we're taking quick notes, we'll go back and do that later. So you have it all in one place. So it'll be supplements, foods. So that way when you're looking, it's easier to organize it in your head. And then okay. The like lifestyle would be the meditation, yoga, heart, and the great notes. Holy cow. She's a much faster typer than I am. And she's much more accurate typist than I am too. Like my typing stinks. But thank you. Is that good? Does that help?
Yes.
It's amazing how much information we can get out of that Dutch, isn't it?
It is. It is. Yeah. And a broccoli sprout powder. Okay.
I have that here. You can take some home.
Yeah. If you just go to Z Natural Foods and we can find you a link to Z Natural
Foods. I bought like 40 pounds or something.
So oh, Marcia said she bought 40 pounds. Of
40
it.
Pounds. Okay. Sell some to Gail. You must have made a mistake and clicked the 40 instead of the 4. That's a lot of broccoli sprout powder.
Okay. Okay.
I can bathe in it.
Oh, there you go. Okay, good. All right. Thank you, Gail.
Thank you. Do you think this any of this is going to help, I guess, how long for sex drive?
Okay, sex drive. Okay, let me ask you, can I ask you a personal question?
Anything.
All right. How's your vagina, how your lubrication? Are you kind of dry?
Yeah, very.
Okay, so we are going to get you to get some of this little cool stuff. Estriol.
Okay.
Okay. And it's from Biomatrix, same place you'll get the DHEA and pregnenolone. And it's called EstAdapt. And it's just pure estriol. And what you're going to do is you're going to take a few drops, put it on your finger and rub it in the vulva vaginal area.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Another thing that is really helpful in that way is DHEA vaginally. And Annika Becca's Jolva has that plus some other things that help with lubrication, but also with sex drive. Now, at one point, she used to sell little DHEA with an applicator that you can do vaginally, and she got shut down because they said that then you can't do that over the counter. You only can do that with prescription. And I will just vouch for the fact that it increases sex drive dramatically.
Okay.
Stop taking it. It just invaded my life. I had to stop taking it. That's how crazy it got. Okay, just TMI maybe, but I'm just saying. So I don't know. I haven't tried because I don't want to go back to that state again. But it was DHEA. You might be able to also, at separate times a day, put your little DHEA drops on your finger and then, again, apply vaginally or vulva. We'll have to say vulva because we can't say vaginal because that's internal. But between you and me,
I did it.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, that could be very helpful. That DHEA,
And that's absolutely. Just a few drops a day.
I would just put a few drops.
Okay.
If it gets distracting, then drop it down. But and wow. If you need more, then bump it up. But I mean, yeah, it could be extremely, yeah. As we talk about this, the man just heard us and came in the room.
I'm not going to tell my husband.
There's the other thing. And similarly, there's a thing from Bezweken. And it's called, I don't remember which one it is, but Bezweken has it's an estrogen combo. And I had this person I worked with probably 7 or 8 years ago, and she hadn't had sex drive in years. And she said, "We haven't had sex in years, and it's ridiculous." And so we did this evaluation. I said, "Try this. It's a Bezweken product, and it's, I can't remember the exact name of it. Bezweken's harder to get these days. So I stopped. Well, now it's easier again, but for a while you just couldn't get it. So I stopped. So I don't remember the exact name of it, but she actually had her husband got on one of our calls and said, "Thank you for giving me back my wife.
Aww.
It's like we're on our honeymoon again."
Aww.
Isn't that sweet?
That's sweet.
She said to him, he said to her, "Whatever that stuff is, I'll buy you cases of it. Don't ever run out."
I took that once before. I took that. Dr. Justin gave it to me, and I don't remember. I don't remember which one it was. And I take this stuff, and nothing seems to happen. So,
yeah, and you also have to be a little patient. But it's the past, and the past is the past. The future, and if you weren't doing it along with some of the other diet, lifestyle, you know, things to balance as well.
Okay.
But these are just things to try and see, you know, how you do with it. Bezweken, estrogen. Does DSS carry the Bezweken? Or is that, Lynn, do you remember, I think? I'm just looking to see if I can. Osteoderm, it is Osteoderm.
Yeah, I thought it was Doctor's Supplement Store carried it.
I think they do, because that's why I was so impressed, because it had everything.
Yeah.
Let's see what's in it. My only concern with it, you know, Marcia is so much aligned with me that way. I was like, oh, it has some stuff in it that I don't really like, you know, some of the, you know, things that go along with it. So that's why, you know, now that they have this, it just might be, it's purified water, it's got stearic acid, does have progesterone, polysorbate. So, you know, I think that's why I got away from using it so much, and the estriol. So it's the progesterone and estriol. So I would, you know, start with the Estadapt. If that doesn't do, your progesterone's pretty low too. So why don't we just go to Bezweken, Biomatrix, and buy all four. DHEA, pregnenolone, Estadapt, and Progestadapt. Okay. And then we'll just play with them, and we'll just play with the doses to see if we can get it there. I think I like it better than this with all these other things. That's why I think I was really I was excited when I saw that these guys did it.
Okay.
They don't have anything.
No Bezweken right now.
Yeah. Bezweken you can get through. This has just vitamin E, rice bran oil, and then the estriol. Bezweken you can get through Dr. Supplement Store. Would you mind putting the link to that in her chat?
Right, but which, because I'm just getting confused. Is this the Bezweken you want her to take?
No, I don't want her to do this. I was just looking for it. I knew there was a reason. No, so Biomatrix,
right? I've got
Estadapt, the Progestadapt. It's something like that. They sent me samples, so I have them up here.
Right.
I don't remember the, here it is. ProAdapt. ProAdapt, Estadapt, DHEA, and pregnenolone.
And okay, so no Bezweken then?
No, no, no.
Okay.
I was just thinking that as a story, yeah.
Okay, that's why I was confused. All right.
Thank you. And then, you know, the Estadapt can be applied, right, topically. The progesterone can be done vaginally or vulva too. You can also put it on other spots on your skin. Technically, they say these are for external use only, but the formulation is exactly the same as it was when they were sublingual.
Okay.
But there came a time about a year and a half ago where all the oral progesterones went off the market.
Wow.
To be topical. So I think it's like an FDA ruling type thing. But I have not had a problem. You know, I've tried them like, oh, are these going to make me sick or something? It's just vegetable oil, like a rice bran oil and rice bran oil, progesterone, vitamin E with mixed tocopherols and progesterone. So it's, you know, it's pretty pure and the oils are much better. If you look at like the Edge Effect, not the Edge Effect. What's the guy's name? No, the Edge Effect is the
Raverman.
No, that's the Edge Effect, but Dr. Rosensweet's book, The Target Method.
Oh, yeah.
He's very much into, and you know, you got to get those through a practitioner because he has a prescription, but he basically is into the oil-based estrogen, progesterone, et cetera. And he has people just go with the flow and just a little bit of time, a little bit more. So with the progesterone, you can put a little drop under your tongue. You can apply it topically however you want to. But with the estriol, it doesn't taste so good. With the with the estrogen one, the estriol, I would definitely apply that vaginally because it really helps with the dryness. Or vulva. I'm not going to say vaginally. Vulva.
Okay.
If your hand just happens to, you know, go where that's just happened to.
But we just won't mention it.
Just won't mention it. That's all. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Thank you. That's really nice.
Yeah.
And Susan was helping me out and she typed out something so that I could order it from the doctor site.
Yeah.
Then I couldn't find that site that she wrote out. So I'm going to look for it again.
Oh, she wrote you a prescription.
Yeah. Thing. She did the easy kit.
The easy kit.
Easy kit. Well, anyway, she, you know, I had to put in a different email address. And she said she was going to make it easy. I hope so.
All right. I'll find out from her because I've never done the easy script with them.
Okay.
But, you know, if we do, we can just, if she has it already set up, we can just add these to it. I think she had put some stuff in there that, that was somebody else I was talking to. That was Conora. Anyway, I don't know what she put in. I'll talk to her about it. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Who else has questions, comments, stuff they want to?
Thank you. I'm going to go.
Thank you. I'm going to go too.
Okay. Go. Bye-bye. Enjoy your heart song.
Hi, Dr.
Sandra. Sandra would like to go.
Okay, Sandra.
All right.
So she's going to use heart song.
My questions for the day are... I think we're going to have anyway a meeting about the Dutch test, right?
Yes.
Okay, but just a quickie on that. Remember I said that I have high serotonin?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it showed in the test.
Okay, let's look.
I also, my sex hormones are down the floor too. Oh, and the other interesting thing is the cortisol curve, it's actually flatter than last year. Although last year I was more stressed, this year it looks pretty flat.
Okay.
And the other thing I want you to give a quick look to is Viome actually now is CALI or whatever certified, and they have to change all their sites. So I got new recommendations, and
Did it change?
It changed the kind of foods. So if you want to look at, I posted on my page.
That's interesting. If they change the foods, that's another reason I'm a little, I want to see how they calculate those.
Well, one of them, it's now my one of my superfoods is sweet potato.
Mm.
And it said that it's good for me because it has saponins.
Mm.
And last time I had what is it? That mayan seed that also has saponins.
Now we have to also, when we're getting food recommendations that are coming up from different sources based on different criteria, also goes to, we have to look at the whole picture, right? So
sure.
If sweet potato causes your blood sugar to go up, then it's probably not worth the superfood effect. What else can we use instead?
Absolutely.
So it's always like pulling it all together. You can't just use one test or one criteria. Yeah.
No, I understand.
Right. Okay, got it.
And yesterday, for example, Michelle suggested that I try just a little bit and see what happened.
A little bit of sweet potato. Yeah, well, for blood sugar, the amount matters a lot. Right? So you might be able to eat a quarter of a sweet potato with a big salad or broccoli or whatever else and do fine. But if you sat down and ate a big, thing of mashed sweet potatoes, which I've been known to do at events where they made mashed sweet potatoes with coconut oil, like, oh, yum. And then I overate them because they were so delicious. And then my blood sugar went up. But if I just had, a little portion with my salad, it would be cool. So that's up to you to experiment with.
Yeah.
But
besides the blood sugar, we were thinking about the belly swelling that I experienced after the liver cleanse.
Yes.
And I ate a little bit and I didn't measure my blood sugar, but my belly did not bloat.
Okay, good. Good. So amounts matter, right? Even if it's
might be. As a superfood. And also it could have been that my belly was too sensitive to put so much food because I was hungry.
Yeah. Well, that is, honey, that's a thing that everybody does after a cleanse. Like, okay, now I'm able to eat. And instead it's hard to control. Yeah. And then, instead of keeping the meal really simple after a cleanse, which is what the body needs, if we overdo it, then it's going to rebel. So I think that's what happened. Right. All right. Mm-hmm. So let's look real quick. I thought we went over your.
No, we went over the labs.
I thought you went over the Dutch. So we'll look. I mean, I know we went over the biome, but I haven't looked at the new biome. Okay. So let's go here. We're done here.
Actually, the new biome doesn't have the bugs right now because they are going through certification or whatever.
Is that why, Paula, that you haven't gotten yours? Because you still haven't gotten it? It's because they're going through certification, yeah. Because Paula's been waiting, 2 months or something? What? Whoops. What'd you say?
It has now been 3 months.
3 months?
It's been 3 months since I did my sample, yes.
That's ridiculous.
And a month ago, they said I would get my results in 2 to 4 weeks. A month ago, they said that. No, 2 to 3 weeks, they said.
And which test was this?
The vial.
Yeah, that's why Steph was saying that she can't recommend them. They've got one of the best, most sensitive microscopes, but, their support stinks. And now they're probably even worse because they just did that interconnected series. So yeah
and you gotta always remember, and I don't mean to be a skeptic and I know but when a company sponsors a summit, right, they're paying a lot of money to sponsor the summit, so I'm always like, okay, I want to make sure that I'm getting unbiased information, not biased information, which is why I'm always nervous about sponsoring or selling any particular kinds of brands because I don't want to be biased. I want to give an unbiased opinion. And I'm not dissing it. I just haven't seen how they calculate. Like, how do they know sweet potatoes are good for you, but for Diana, they're bad, or vice versa? You know what I mean?
Yeah. No.
I don't know how they do that. So this is
okay. Well, this what you're looking is last year.
So okay, so okay, opening the new window. So that's last year's.
So it's under new tests on the folder. So
okay, newest tests. Here we go. And there's the biome and there's the Dutch. Okay, all right. So we'll have them. I can flip back and forth, and I can just like quickly look.
So see that one, and look at that one.
This is this year's.
This is this year,
and this is last year's. So your your testosterone has come up. Your progesterone is about the same. 0.4, 0.3. So your progesterone's come up a little bit, and your estradiol's come up. Oh no, your estradiol went down, and that's not a bad thing, quite frankly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So let's look at the whole thing. This said total estrogen and now they're reporting it as estradiol. So that's the difference. So we're comparing apples and oranges there. So if I look at your DHEA, and this is from this year, I mean, your cortisols are down and last year they were higher. So, you know, and with your, DHEA is 741, your DHEA is 759. So they're about the same. The total metabolized is gone up and the total free has gone down. Okay, let's just see what the other things are doing. Okay, so what I really care about is the ratios between these estrogens. So your estriol is up, which is good. Right? Look at this. Estriol was 0.8.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's 3. Whoopee. Oh. Right? Your estrogen quotient, which is the sum of these compared to this, is it was decent last year. Now it's outstanding. Okay? So it's improved. I don't care that your estradiol is higher because that's more of the proliferative one. It's gone down. That's, you know, which one went down? It's 0.1, 0.2.9. Yeah, but they all, that's interesting that the front page showed lower, but they were reporting two different things. It's kind of interesting. Okay. So overall, your front page was comparing total estrogen from last time with just the estradiol this time. So you can't compare them done. If I look at the page that breaks it down, everything's gone up 0.9, 0.1, 0.8, mm-hmm. 2.16, and 3.
Okay.
Right. So everything's improved on the estrogen side, and your ratio is way, way better.
All right.
Okay. Good. So if that's I look at your progesterone, and again, the report changed a little bit. So we had 52 and 18 on the pregnadiol, 57 and 22. So yeah, the progesterone's better as well. DHEAS was 83, and now it's 180. Everything's better, Sandra.
Everything's better.
Okay. And then if we look at, your ratios, you had 20% on your 16 and where's your, an 80, 78% on your 2. The 2 hydroxy is what we're really looking for. Mm-hmm. And if I go here, oh man, yeah. So your 4 hydroxy has gone down to 13%, and it was 20%. That's the dangerous one. So that's better.
All right.
The 2 is about the same. What is it? 78 and it's 79 now. So it's a little better, the protective one. And your 16 is 6.9 and it was 0.9. It's better, but you know, it still could be better. And so you really just still want to make sure you're doing all the bone support stuff.
Yeah.
And really just be consistent with that. I know that you'll do it for a while and then you stop and then you do it for a while. Be consistent with that.
Now I was doing that tea of
nettles,
alfalfa, nettles,
yep.
But and horsetail, but, remember when we looked at my chronometer, I had a lot of phosphorus and iron.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that maybe one of them.
Yeah, but then when we looked, we saw where the iron was coming from. And now without looking back at it, we don't have time to do that. Oh. There was something else. So I would still do that.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, so I would still do that. Okay. And you can powder them up, except for the horsetail really does need to be heated and, you know, like a...
what I do is, what I've been doing before is I do a tea and then I add it as a base for my smoothie.
Beautiful. Perfect. Yeah, I would keep doing it. It's definitely getting much better. If I look at the alpha reductase activity, you are much higher in the Ascribe alpha. And now you're better there too. Everything's better here.
Great. Well,
everything's better.
Lovely.
Yeah. And the, let's see, this was your organic. I don't think they did these last year. I think this was new this year. Yeah, these are new this year. So we just had last year, we had melatonin, which was low. And the oxidation status was high. Now the oxidation status is high, is normal, but the melatonin is still low.
Yeah. And there was an explanation somewhere that it said that I had high serotonin, and I was curious about.
Well, that was this. And it's just the metabolites are high, yes. And I know I'm going to do some more research on this, but Susan was just talking to them. You have Michelle, right? So Susan was just talking to them about that, and they're questioning the validity of these numbers, and they're going to be reevaluating whether these numbers, the neurotransmitter numbers, are actually accurate.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. So okay. I wouldn't be concerned about it.
I was going to put something on her notes. What is it you said that she should do, the horsetail and so forth, or?
Yeah, the nettles, horsetail, alfalfa, those bone supporting stuff. And what she's doing or was doing was the making a tea and then using the tea as a base for her smoothie. Okay. Yeah. So that's looking fine. You're way better. So not way that, you know, it's a marginal.
Yeah, but
it's definitely, it's moving in the right direction. Yeah.
All right.
I could see where you got confused because they changed the format of the report. This reported estradiol and the other one reported total estrogen, and you can't compare.
So those recommendations that you gave to Gail, as for example, like the I don't need that.
No, your estriol is really good. Look at this, 3. Hers was really low. Hers was like a 0.6 or something.
Okay.
Right. The progesterone, you could probably benefit from some progesterone if you wanted to do that.
So that's also topical?
Yeah, you can do a topical.
Also on the vulva or somewhere else?
You know, and the DHEA is in a reasonable range.
I use Jolva.
You use Jolva. I would continue to use Jolva. If you wanted to add the progesterone as well, you can add the progesterone as well.
And you apply it on the vulva too?
You can apply it on the vulva. You can apply it on your hands, you know, your wrists, any thin skinned areas on your body. Right. But the estriol, you know, if we're specifically doing the estriol for, you know, the vaginal, you know, mucosa, it's best to apply on the vulva. They all work best on mucous membranes. They get absorbed best, and you need less when you do it on mucous membranes, which is why, you know, vulva, in men, we have them do in the anal mucosa to get them absorbed better.
All right.
And that's not a very good thing for compliance. So I usually don't get really good compliance when I ask people to do that. So vulva is a little easier.
So would I do it a few times a week or every day, or?
I mean, with the progesterone, how often do you do the Jolva?
Every day. I know I was doing it before 5 days a week, but I think if I do it every day, it's a little better.
A little bit better. Do you do that in the morning?
No, in the evening. Yeah, in the morning.
In the morning? So if you do that in the morning, I do the progesterone in the evening.
Okay.
Okay.
And how many drops?
You know, I would just start with 1 or 2 and just see, you know, I would say, let me see how much is in here. Estriol per drop, that's the estriol. Let me look at my progesterone. There's only 4 milligrams. Do you have any trouble falling asleep?
Really, some days I might, but.
Yeah, and you could do this. You could do this orally if you wanted to with the progesterone at bedtime. I would say maybe 5 drops.
Okay. How would I know if it's working or not? I mean,
well, what do you have symptoms of? Low sex drive? Do you have symptoms of vaginal dryness? Well, yeah, watch that. Watch that. And the other thing, if you have the low sex drive, the Jolva does have, do you find that improves the sex drive, the Jolva?
Yes. Yeah, so, slightly. I mean,
slightly. Okay. If you were to get some DHEA, either little tablets or the drops, and you would apply the DHEA to the vulva and, you know, vaginally, if it happens to slip in, that helps dramatically with sex drive.
Okay.
Very
in
small
addition
amounts.
To the Jolva?
Yeah, you can do that with the Jolva. Because the Jolva already has some DHEA.
Yes.
You could just add a little bit more to it. Very little. Yeah.
Okay. I probably use less than the size recommended for the Jolva.
Started by increasing it instead of adding something new, just increasing it to at least the amount.
All right.
And you can go a little bit more if you say, oh, wow, that was even better, but oh, wow. And you can play with the dose to see, okay, that was a little too much. Sorry. I'll leave you alone now.
Well, a few years ago, a doctor gave me a shot of testosterone. Oh, my God, that was horrible.
Oh, I bet. Oh,
I thought I was growing a penis.
Oh, no.
Just like...
I remember working with long time ago, one of my earlier days of working with people on this stuff. And we'd done a test, and this one company was making a custom cream based on the results of the test. And they made her a thing, and she was like, oh my God, she goes, I can't, this is crazy. The sex drive, she was enjoying it. The sex drive was so intense. Her husband said, I can't do this anymore. I can't keep up with this. Her husband said this. And so we went back, and I'm like, what? They looked, and they had accidentally put too much testosterone into her cream. Oh, yeah. And her husband literally was like, no, you've got to stop this. Yeah, Long story short, she ended up getting pregnant.
It was painful. I don't know.
6 years, and she got pregnant.
Oh, well.
It wasn't bad because she was trying for 6 years, but right. And it's not going to happen at your age, so don't worry about that.
No.
But yeah, that's what happened. Her sex drive got so crazy, and her body started regulating itself, and that's what happened. So yeah, the DHEA testosterone, I think it's safer to do the DHEA than the testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's much more gentle, and you can control it because you've got the little bottle with the little drops. Once they inject it in you, what are you going to do? Say, this is too much. Take it out. Yeah. That's what the objection I have to those pellets, right? They put them under your skin and they say it's going to last for 6 months. Well, what if it's too much? And I've had that happen to people where it was too much. And yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Great.
All right. Good. Thank you. Well,
thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So quick question.
Sure.
On the DHEA, I've noticed, I think it's a DHEA, but it kind of, I was thinking, I'm not, the liquid's not coming out of the bottle, so I'm shining a light down in the bottom, and it looks like it's congealed, kind of in a white.
Yeah, I noticed that with my, when I was just looking at the estriol, the estrogen one, and it might be that it has to do with the weather, like the cold. So
yeah,
you
I was thinking that too, but I mean, what about a salt? I put a little bit of distilled water in there, but...
water and oil don't mix real well, so you may just... It may work to get it broken down, but you might want to just, like, put some...
What about alcohol off of one of the tinctures I have? Pouring a little bit of that in there, would that...
That might help, as long as it's a tincture that's compatible. That could help. Yeah, because a lot of these these hormonal drops will have some alcohol in them. So that might work. The water I'd be a little bit skeptical about because water and oil.
You know, I guess I could go get some vodka. Go
get some vodka, put it in. No, no, you can put one of your tinctures in there and try that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you could try that. Or just, you know, keep hot water. Just turn the faucet on really hot and hold it underneath. And it'll break down really quickly. I have a neem oil that's like that, and it says that on there. And I didn't read it. I just was like, what the heck is wrong with this stuff?
And okay, well, maybe I'll warm up some water and just put it in a bowl or something.
Yeah. Or even the faucet is, if as long as your faucet gets warm enough, you can just hold it under the faucet because it's small. It's not like a big old jug of coconut oil. You know, that'd take forever to do under the faucet, but it's just a little bit. Yeah, that's what I would do. Cool. All right. Who is next? Next.
I know that Diana has some questions.
Okay, Diana.
Unmute. Okay.
There we go.
Let's see. What's my question? We're dealing with that little outbreak that we had a couple of weeks ago, still with my gut and the probiotics and the explosion of the candida.
Yeah.
And we're still working on adjusting all the dosages. It's going pretty well overall.
Now, are you able to, you know, get away from the toilet? I mean, if it's that frequent, we want to do something a little more drastic.
It's just the candida outbreak is what's...
Oh, I understand, but you were saying that you were having, you know, you had to be going to the bathroom all the time. Is it better?
Yeah, that's why we started real slow on the probiotics, that I was not having any problems with the diarrhea at that time. And I'm not having any trouble with that at this time. I am having a systemic candida outbreak.
What does that appear like? What do you see on the outside with that? Like a thrush rash, orally, vaginally?
Rectal.
A rectal.
Vaginal, urethra, and thrush. And I'm also getting it's now coming out on my skin. I'm getting rashes. They're blistering. I've been taking caprylic acid in addition to try and knock it down. I had an outbreak many, many years ago and thought I had it under control. But apparently when we started working on with the probiotics, that kind of interrupted their little happy house, and that's when we went to the biocidin. And so that's what we were working on.
Did the outbreak start when you started the biocidin or before?
Before. It was when I was doing the bifido, the 5-strain bifido.
Okay.
I started out with the little tiny baby scoop.
Baby scoop, yeah.
Yeah, and I was doing really well with that. And she said, you know, we'll be very slowly increasing. And I had worked up to 2 scoops, and it was still going okay. And then she said she had to get 2 other probiotics, and she was going to have me rotate them. And so I went to switch to the second one, and I was starting to notice that I was getting really uncomfortable and itchy. And it was, you know, in the down there part, basically my butt. Okay. And it just sort of, within about 24 to 48 hours, everything just kind of went boom, and it was everywhere. Mm-hmm. And when I finally figured out it was the candida, because I hadn't had a problem with this for many, many years, that's when she said, well, I want you to get this biocide. And I said, well, I already got some. So she started at using the baby dose was supposed to be 1 drop per 10 pounds of body weight. And so she basically took me to the max dose to start with, because it was such a horrible outbreak.
Yeah,
and
I'm figuring we can get it under control.
My tongue was swelling up and it was just going crazy. So anyway, that was the last time that we were online and I got to talk to you. And you were quite surprised that she had started at 28 drops. Yeah. And said you could probably drop it in half. Well, I did that to kind of thinking that would knock things down. Of course, I did notify Drina immediately. And anyway, so we've been working on adjusting the dose to get the proper dosage.
Okay. So I'm going to go back to the probiotic, though. You started with the bifido, and then you added these others. Did you take away the bifido or just add the others?
She had me switch to the Biospora from Claire Labs. Okay.
Are you still on that, or did you go back to the bifido?
No, she has me taking the Biospora, and then she had me also get the Proflora 4.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm taking one of each of those at bedtime now.
Okay.
That part I'm not seeming to have a problem with. What we're trying to do
because you have this outbreak.
Right. But we back the biocidin down to 15 drops. Okay. Yeah. Let's start at 14. Then I started to increase a little bit. So we were doing that twice a day. And then she had me get the capsules, the detox capsules, and doing those at the opposite times to clean up the situation. And then she had me get the Proflora, and then I added that in at night. So we've got a nice little schedule. This is like my daily hourly schedule. It's just,
oh my, okay.
Yeah, I've got literally the timer that went off when we talked a minute ago.
Oh, that was jumping.
Yeah, so I'm trying to go to more of us. I'm trying to find a graph that's going to work because I've kind of got it where I've got all of the different doses of everything spaced out with the foods and the not foods and the so that I've got a schedule and it seems to be working.
Okay.
As far as sort of settling down,
okay,
but not completely. And so I've been, with a meal, I've been taking the caprylic acid. I got pure encapsulations. This is a new one. It just came. The old one that I was using, it must be expired because it wasn't doing anything. And that usually helps a lot.
So if you have an outbreak on your skin, things I would recommend. One, pop open the caprylic acid and put it over those spots.
Okay.
If you're having the outbreak. Number two, you can apply that again, you know, the rectally thing, right? So just pop open that and apply it rectally.
Okay.
And the other thing you could do is to, if you've got it as a thrush, you know, vaginal thrush, then I would say even putting some of the probiotic up, both you could do vaginally and rectally.
Okay.
That would help to balance it locally.
Okay.
Right, because it's, you know, if you're taking a probiotic, it's going to go through your whole intestine. The chances of it getting in there to replenish is slim to none, right? So suppositories inserted vaginally and suppositories inserted rectally. And you can get little molds on Amazon.
I put a link to that earlier today.
I copied that. And, I'm using calendula oil on the sore areas down in my
soothing, right. It's soothing, but it's not necessarily going to,
it's not going inside. And we had discussed, we just talked the day before yesterday, Lynn had mentioned something about, does she have you doing enemas? And I said, no, not yet, but I'll discuss it with her. And we did talk about that. And she said, if I wanted to try that, that would be something to, you know, go slow with it, but you could
go fine.
The one that's bothering me the most is that's what's living in my gut. It's what's living in my small intestine. That's where my problem is. And it was like just getting those bacteria, getting the probiotics, kind of stimulating things, kind of just made the little beast apparently really unhappy.
So I'm going back, and I mean, I've missed part of the thing, but I'm going back to this thing started when you switched the probiotic, when you switch from the Bifido to the other probiotic.
I think it actually started before that. That might have been what triggered the huge flare. But when I went to 2 baby scoops, and I did that about 2 or 3 days, and I didn't really notice it until I looked back, but it was starting then.
Okay.
When I went to the second baby scoop.
So I'm always a fan of when something, you know, a particular reaction happens, let's go back to where were we before it started. So if ever, you know, I have somebody increases something or switches something, I'll go, wait, let's go back. So just go back to the 1 scoop.
Right.
Work with that for a while. Let this whole thing settle down. Personally, if I were doing it again, I'm not as intimate with it, with what she laid out she is, but my recommendation would normally be go back. I always go back to your safe zone, right? Okay. Where were you feeling safe at the 1 scoop? Just go back there, wait on the other probiotic, just go back there, get this under control. And you can do that with some of the local firefighter kind of things, right? With the suppositories, the skin stuff, taking the caprylic acid, get that stuff under control, and then go back to where you were and then start increasing and changing.
Okay.
Because if you try too many things, especially given, and then the biocidin at 28, that's a lot.
Oh, it's down though. We're not doing that.
Right. But I'm saying all of that stuff at the similar times probably just, you know, it triggered too much of a die-off Herxheimer reaction.
And right. And it is starting to come back under control. But like I said, it's mostly what's bothering me right at the moment is just trying to knock down the itch.
Yeah. I mean, so I would
the cholesterol. I had three episiotomies and I did never even noticed them before, but they're swelled up like hemorrhoids right now and I can barely sit and it itches so bad and I can't sleep. And so I've got all this timing and I think I've got it all. It was the, is there one more thing I can do to knock that candida in the gut down?
Yeah.
I got so the dental side and the toothpaste too. So the mouth is good. The other pieces are good. It's just the gut.
Yeah. I would do the suppositories.
Okay. Right. We'll work on that.
In both of those areas to get that under control.
And I am happy with the probiotics that she's got me taking now, though. Mm-hmm. It was the Biospora, which is Subtilis, and then the Proflora 4 that's the biocidin one. It comes with it.
Okay. So just make sure there's no lactate forming bacteria.
No, there's no lactate.
Concerned about with the small intestine and the bloating.
Right. Right. So, yeah, I think we are making progress. It's just
right now you need firefighter intervention. You need Band-Aid intervention to get you comfortable. And exactly. I would try those things. You know, caprylic acid just rubbed outside. You can put the suppository in and then you can do the caprylic acid. You might be able to put the caprylic acid up, you know, anally, but I'm a little they're relatively thick capsules and I don't know that they're going to break down in there.
Okay.
So, you know, I would
caprylic acid basically comes from coconut oil. I mean,
exactly. But the capsule that they put it in.
The capsule that they put it in. So if I break the capsule and mix it with some coconut oil, some beeswax, make suppository and
I don't know if I'd do beeswax.
Not beeswax.
I wouldn't do beeswax. I'd do coconut oil, cacao butter.
Oh, that's the one. Sorry, I'm staff oriented. It's beeswax for me. Yeah, you're right.
That's
the other stuff.
But if you do, if you get those suppository molds and you get, I like cacao butter mainly because it's solid at body temperature.
Right.
Well, it's not solid at body temperature. It's solid
room temperature.
At room temperature. Whereas coconut oil, not necessarily.
No, it's not.
I mean, it'll be liquid, and then you have to put it in the refrigerator to harden it. And I'm not a big fan of putting something cold up my butt. Just saying.
Yeah, just especially this time of year.
Don't like cold showers either.
I don't like cold showers. I don't like cold anything. So I would say go with the cacao butter because it's solid at room temperature.
Okay.
You don't have to put them in the refrigerator.
Okay, so I'm going to be making suppositories with cocoa butter.
I mean, you're the little, earth mama herbalist. Yay. So it should be right up your alley to make your own.
It is, and I've never made suppositories before, so this will actually be a new one for me.
It'll be great. And they have the little molds. I was looking on Amazon.
She gave me the link.
Yeah.
She gave me the link. Okay, so we're going to put that in there and insert and hope that works. But should I continue with the caprylic acid and taking it orally?
That's probably a good idea. I take it orally and I rub it wherever you have any itching.
My daughter, my second daughter, who's now 30, when she was an infant, she was under a year and she had thrush. Like, it was not just her mouth, but it was all over her stomach and everywhere. Yeah. And that's what I, yep, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Everywhere. Yep. I didn't realize what it was until it's like, maybe this has something to do with it.
And the other
thing, that's what I did.
That's what you did with caprylic acid?
I did, I took the caprylic acid and broke open the probiotics.
Yeah. I did that my son when he was born. He had thrush. He had oral and he had anal. And we did SF-722 from Thorn. And that is actually from castor oil. So it's an extract from castor bean oil and it's a good antifungal. So topical. And, you know, he had it all through, you know, the whole scrotum area and we rubbed that on. Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. What was that you stated? It was
SF-722.
Yeah. It's by Thorn.
Okay.
They had to come up with something because what they wanted to call it, the government wouldn't let them. And so this is actually their stock number.
Their stock number. They have a few of them that they got knocked down on. The other thing is, I don't know, I haven't tried it that way, but I would think just castor oil. Like you just can rub, if it's topical, because that was oral, and you don't want to just give people oral castor oil to take it.
Well, it also breaks down some of the toxins. That's what I have my family members do when they step on nails, is I put a cotton ball with castor oil on it, and it sucks out the toxins.
Yeah, so that might be a good approach as well. It's just with some, rub some castor oil. Play with it, you know, see which one's better. Do one arm, you know, depending on where it is, do one side with the caprylic, one side with the castor, and see which works better. They may both work the same. And then try them together in one area to see if there's a synergy between them that makes it even better.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, okay. And I think that was kind of about it for the question that I had for today.
Great.
But yeah, that
we're covering a lot of bases here.
Maybe Lynn can help me figure out how to do this schedule a little bit better.
Schedule your day with, she's going to send out soon for getting.
I will be scheduling something with you, Lynn, to help me get this straight. Now, Drina said I'm going to be on this protocol for 3 months.
Yeah, so you need to get
it. Parasite and stuff. And yeah. I don't want to quit and have to go back square one. I've been 3 weeks of misery, and this is the worst part. So I don't want to go back there again.
No. Okay, so you'll keep up what you're doing with the oral stuff, and then you'll just do this topical intervention and, you know, suppository type thing and see if that gives you some relief.
Yeah, and I'm stuck in the house anyway. If this was garden season, we'd have a real problem. It's hibernation time anyway, so I got nowhere else to go with that. So anyway, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll keep you in touch. Thank you.
All right, bye.
Okay, related question again.
Yeah.
So I went to the gastro guy today, and I decided to go ahead and have this colonoscopy done.
You did. Okay.
I did that in January, and so had exchanged some questions on suppositories with Lynn here in the chat. So we were just talking about that. Are there any like ready? I don't want to make my own. I'm not.
Okay. Yeah. You're not mama earth mother. Like,
are there any pre-made probiotic
ones? I haven't.
I looked on Amazon and there's a bunch that are vaginal, and I don't know that those are necessarily.
Well, I don't know that they have the right floor. Right. You know, so some of the vaginal ones like Vita Vitanica, has some anti-candida ones, so if you didn't want to do it, you can get those. But they're
Bravo has some.
Yeah, Bravo. I found the Bravo ones a minute ago.
And what's in those?
About 20 or 30 different things.
Different strains of probiotic?
Yes.
Okay, go for
well,
it.
Well, the only thing I was concerned about is it had cow's milk.
Oh, darn. Why would they do that?
Why is that a problem?
Well, so part of it, it's fermented, if that helps, but it's that GCMAF is the part of that whole.
Does it actually have the solids in it, or is it just that it was fermented on, you know, because I had somebody who was taking probiotics, she was doing great, all of a sudden she's like having this horrific flare-up, and we started going through what changed, and she got her new version of like it was a thorn or whatever version, one had dairy, one didn't, and they looked the same, and she looked, she goes, oh, I cannot believe what a horrific reaction she had just from getting a probiotic that said trace of dairy, because that's what the substrate was that they fermented it on. So every, you know, it depends on how you react to dairy, and the thing is it's going into a mucous membrane where it's going to go right in and get into the bloodstream, so it might be fine, it may not be a problem at all. But you have to be aware that it could potentially trigger an allergic reaction.
Well, of course, the doctor told me that that's not necessary, that I could try a kefir, just oral kefir drinks, and that would restore it. And that people
spending
on probiotics, and I really didn't need it. So
we're all about the foods, right? So yeah. making a kefir, yogurt, any of that stuff can restore it. I just think during, like right after, if they're wiping it out,
exactly.
It's a good thing to have a higher dose than you get. Now the kefir will maintain you, but I'm not sure that therapeutically it's going to get those levels high enough.
Yeah, that's why I'm asking, because I don't Yeah, I don't buy it either. So
if there's others that don't have dairy.
Bravo is it. I found another one, but it said like email us for information on ordering them. I thought that was kind of weird.
Well, they may, it may be an FDA thing that they're not allowed to, I don't know. It would be worth emailing them to find out.
I'm going to do that.
It would be worth emailing because sometimes the reason for that is, you know, they're not allowed to state on a website certain things because the FDA said.
I think with the Bravo, it's the colostrum.
Oh, it's colostrum. That shouldn't be a problem.
Right.
That should be a problem, except for the super, super sensitive. And just be aware of it as you do it. If you suddenly have some, you know, weird symptoms or break out in a rash or get bloated and gassy, then know that it might be the dairy.
$200 for 12.
Hey, yeah. I mean, it's not that hard to make them.
$200 for 12. Yeah. The thing with this particular company is they have, again, that GCMAF, which a lot of the other ones don't have. The GCMAF, well, that's the strain that they're saying got that, I'm going to forget his name. He was like the first doctor of the doctors that were killed that they found in the river. It has to do with the strains, the probiotic strains that help with your gut, with help with autism, all of that.
And this
company is in Switzerland, and it's like the first one that really started this whole bit.
It might be a really good thing for you then.
So that's positive, right?
Yeah,
it's extremely positive. Yeah, it's really good for vitamin D, your immune system.
A lot of stuff. It's probably worth the $200. I mean, you're not going to make them, so.
Yeah, no.
And you just go, what's it worth? It's $200. I've already spent all this other
money. I'm not worried about the money.
Yeah. Yeah, I would do it.
Okay.
I mean, if you were in a different financial situation, I would, you know.
It's not forever either.
No, it's not. No. You know, that one bottle will be fine. I mean, I would probably do them, you know, before bed.
Once a day or every other day or something?
I would initially do it every day and then maybe every other day. Maybe do it initially for 5 days and then just do it every other day.
Maybe do six in a row and then spread them out after that.
Spread them out after that. Right. And just make sure because it will melt and, you know, stain your sheets or whatever. So, you know, put a towel down on your bed and, you know, wear old clothes and, you know, don't worry about it. Like kind of when you do a castor oil pack, it's like, no matter what precautions I took, I ended up with oil on my sheets.
Yeah, no, I got you. I've got leftover pads from the cleanse. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Good questions. Well, this is the place to talk about poop and sex and whatever else. So we've hit all the topics.
Sorry for interjecting, but I try to do it at opportune moments, so it's all part of the same.
Yeah, I know. It's great. You always have great places to insert or add, you know, stuff. So it's perfect. It's perfect. Get us all thinking.
Thanks, Lynn.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So who else?
I have a question.
Sure.
But while Diana was talking about her situation, I've been trying to figure out whether I still have yeast issues, and we were hoping that the biome was going to give us some ideas about where I am with that. But I have had these mysterious little skin breakouts for quite a few years. I think I mentioned them to you. I get these little round red things, but they don't itch at all. So I asked Diana in the chat if what she gets itches. And yeah, mine doesn't itch at all, but they get this little kind of a sort of a blister, not really a blister, but a little white flaky thing, which is part of what I thought maybe it was a yeast kind of a thing. but I don't know. But they don't itch at all. And sometimes they stay around for months at a time.
Have you ever taken pictures of them?
No, I had gone to the dermatologist at different times because they look like they could be a precancerous lesion. And I had biopsies, you know, several times on these things, and they're not cancerous, but, you know, the pathology never said, well, they're this, and, you know.
They never said what they were.
It just said benign, right, right.
Yeah, I mean, I would wonder if they can actually culture for a bacteria, virus, parasite, you know, other things that it might be.
Yeah.
I would say next time, how long ago was your last outbreak, and how often do you usually?
I actually have one right now, and they've been worse in the last number of months than they ever had. I mean, I would get one occasionally,
okay, but I'm doing more gut stuff.
Exactly.
Right. It could. Can you hold it up? Is it in a place you can?
I don't know that you could.
You may not be able to.
I have on the back of my, there.
Oh, that red thing.
Yeah, that red thing, right.
Yeah, how long's that one been there?
This one's probably at least a couple weeks old.
A couple of weeks.
And it's got the little white flaky thing on it, on the top of it.
Mm-hmm. And does it ever, spread? Is it just one like that?
It doesn't spread where it is. I just get others in other places.
Three places.
And when I first started getting them, they would typically be on my wrist, right close to my hand. But now I'm getting some on my around my elbows. And I actually had the start of one on my back not long ago, and it went away a lot faster. I had one on my jaw. So... Hmm. And sometimes I get them on my thighs. I had a couple of those biopsied.
And they were fine. Have you talked to Steph about them? And
I think I've mentioned them to her, but it's, not really something that we've.
And it's worse since you started this gut protocol. So I do wonder if it's something, I wonder, they biopsied to see if it was cancerous, but I wonder if they can do a culture on it.
Yeah, that's a good question. Mm-hmm.
To see if it's got, some sort of microbe growing in there.
I could certainly call and ask. Yeah.
And then you can certainly try some of the things we talked about, the caprylic acid, or, you can get actually the liquid, like MCT oil that's all caprylic, which the only one I know of is the Bulletproof. But I think...
I have Dr. Mercola's MCT oil.
Well, the MCT can be 8, 6, 8, 10 chain. Of that C, carbon chains, this caprylic is the 6, I believe.
Oh, okay.
So it's a very specific one. So it's not just MCT oil. You can certainly try MCT oil and see if that helps. Uh-huh. And that's a good, you have it, so you might as well try it and just see if it, just do it on one of them and see if it goes away or decreases the length of it or whatever.
Right. Yeah, but at least they don't itch. Oh my gosh.
They don't itch. And that's, typically the candida kind of outbreaks. They're itchy like crazy, right? Mm-hmm. They're just like, you heard of jock itch. That's a fungal candida.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
The, baby diaper rash type of thing.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I would say, see if they can culture it, not biopsy it.
Yeah.
And see what happens. Yeah. Okay.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about.
Send me the picture because I want to look more closely. I got a little glimpse of it.
But take a picture of it and send it to you?
Yeah, take a picture on your phone and just send it to me, and then I'll look it up in my dermatology, and see if I can match it up to one of the pictures in my dermatology book.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
And what was the other thing?
Well, I wanted to ask you about, since you're a chiropractor, among other things, I've never been able to hold chiropractic adjustments, and it might be the whole Ehlers-Danlos, mm-hmm. picture is a part of that. But my neck is always out of adjustment. I mean, everything is, but I tried chiropractic for decades and I could never hold adjustments. Do you have any ideas about, what I can do to get, my neck back where it belongs, because I think that probably contributes to, you know, I have, you know, this pain all the time there and in my hip because everything is connected. And
yeah, so it's typically when you don't hold adjustments, there's a ligamentous laxity. Yeah. And it's, you can't isolate a ligament and strengthen it, but right. you can strengthen the musculature around it to try to hold it.
Right.
There's a couple of things, though, that nutritionally affect ligaments. Manganese, for example, can strengthen it. So I don't know if you have manganese in your stuff or looking back at some of your testing, if manganese is borderline or whatever. But sometimes extra manganese will help to strengthen it. Anything that supports collagen. So, you know, vitamin C and then the amino acids, proline, hydroxyproline and lysine are three that are important for that. But you can also do some of the bone strengthening stuff. And Lynn's posted a few things on that, like with the mushrooms and seaweed and making a broth that's like a bone broth, or bone broth itself. I'm careful about the bone broth because of histamine reactions.
Yeah, histamine and glutamates, both.
Yeah, right, right. So, you know, and if the mushrooms and the sea vegetables do the same and trigger, then you just get those individual amino acids, proline, hydroxyproline, and lysine, along with vitamin C, rutin as a bioflavonoid, and manganese.
Mm-hmm.
And those six things. Are you writing these things down, Lynn? You stopped writing things down.
I did. Well, no, I was looking something up. But I wanted to say the other thing I remember you telling us as students was that was also a sign of adrenal fatigue.
Oh, that was right on the tip of my tongue at the beginning, and then I forgot to say that. But yes. So, you know, supporting adrenals is important for that as well.
Yeah.
I don't know and, if you tolerate it, but it's a good drink that I just had.
Collagen support would be part of that too. So you're,
collagen support, you know, so the sea vegetables, the, you know, the mushrooms, making a really concentrated broth with that, and you can put whatever other veggies you want in there. And then if you don't tolerate that, if that still produces like the glutamates and the histamine response, then you can just go with lysine, proline, hydroxyproline, and lysine, along with vitamin C, rutin, which is the structural bioflavonoid, versus like quercetin is an antihistamine type, which would be helpful for you, but you're already taking a ton of it. And then manganese, right? So it's adrenal support plus that. And I don't know if you are making any elixirs, but, you know, finding a good elixir that like this one with the mushroom powders plus what else did I have in here? Coconut milk, and which has the caprylic acid in it, right? So it's kind of a nice combination of things, and you can put some, you know, you can actually just tired of taking pills, right? You can just put some powders or liquids of your nutrients right in your drinks too. Mm-hmm. So that's another way to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I get tired of popping pills. I don't like to do
that. Yeah, well, I'm doing plenty of that, right?
I know. I don't want to add any more to it.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Yeah.
So the caprylic acid in a drink like that, that doesn't kill favorable bacteria in your gut, does it?
It doesn't seem to, no. Okay. No. It's, you know, it's quite supportive. Yeah. And then, you know, like you look at the bulletproof coffee, like that you just put the caprylic acid or MCT oil, you know, like a, what's that bulletproof one that has the brain octane? You just put that in there. And you can drink it and you have this really nice beverage that's fun and tasty, but it's also very supportive. Adrenal support, gut support, etc. Brain support, right? MCTs are so important and really supportive of brain function as well. Yeah. All right, good. Who's still on? Did we lost? Debbie, I hope she didn't have, we'll reach out to her and find out if she had any, did she write in any? I know she was, yeah. Okay, I'll reach out to her. And I know Marsha had to go and she said she didn't have questions. Okay, anybody else? We've been on for an extra Whoa. Oh, an extra almost an hour. So I appreciate you guys being so dedicated to your health and staying on. It's late. It's a Friday night. Anything else that I can support anybody in before we go?
So is the session tomorrow with Steph, is that going to be interactive or is that just you interviewing her?
You know what? I'm supposed to get on with her right after this and we're going to do a practice run. So I'm not even sure. There's going to be not interactive like this because it's a big webinar, but she's going to be teaching some stuff and then demos. So if you mean by interaction, she's going to have a few.
Well, I was going to ask her about the suppository thing, but I think I'm pretty settled on the Bravo.
Okay. Yeah, no, she said that's not the place to ask about that.
But okay.
Yeah, it's more of a big, you know, there's...
I'll be on about half hour late because Laura's thing goes until 1. And so I'll just hop on after that.
Specifically set it up for after Laura's ended.
Yeah, Laura's ends at 1. It's on your calendar for 12:30. I don't know why.
Oh, I would have made hers later if that was the case.
It's
been on the calendar that way.
It
needs to get fixed because
it's almost over.
It bumps me out. Like if I need to get on, because you
guys. I went in.
Oh, you changed it.
Yeah, okay. I worked with them, so that won't happen because I saw that and I went, oh, crap.
Yeah, I'm like, I got to get on. I got a webinar happening. That was when we had
our
thing.
And then it looks like Steph has another one on Monday.
Well, Steph has them with not me. I'm not doing that.
Right.
She's doing one with Isabel. She's doing one with Kimberly. And then I'm doing another one with her next Thursday.
Thursday, right.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So I'll be late to that one on Monday as well, since we've got Laura's thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But.
Yeah, so I won't be.
But they're recorded.
Oh, yeah, it's recorded, and she's going to send out a recording. She'll have a page that has all the recordings for all four of them. And the whole thing is to make the connection with the microbiome and the gut and the different parts, hormones, detoxification, trauma, and then she's going to do the general and how to, you know, get support with really good probiotic foods. It's her thing.
Yeah, and, you know, I think she did one for us on the skin.
She did that for CMDS.
That was CMDS. Okay, never mind.
Yeah. That was pretty good that she did that one. But yeah. I mean, it's certainly helpful if we want to share that recording with Paula or Diana, whoever wants it. Just give them a link to the MP4, not to the page that it's on, because they don't have access to that membership level. But just give the link to that MP4. And if you want to watch it, it was Steph talking about the microbiome, the skin microbiome, and how to support it. So it might be really a nice thing to have.
Okay.
Available.
Oh.
There might be a way to just make it available as a, do we have a eating for skin health? I don't know if we do, but we might be able to put that. I don't know. I have to look back to see if it's too over the, because I don't want to overwhelm people if it's too.
Right.
You guys are all, you know.
Right.
Nerds.
I was going to look and see, because sometimes she has these cheat sheets. And I thought, well, maybe just a cheat sheet might be enough information.
Well, she definitely had a cheat sheet for that, but she also had slides. And she had some really nice little recipes of things that you can put together, herbals and various things to make creams and stuff for the skin to create the microbiome. So that might be.
Maybe I'll find that.
If you can just send Paula and Diana and if Jay wants it too, he can have it too. But that particular link.
Yeah, don't leave me out.
Don't want to leave you out. Send it to them, or we can find a spot to put it on the ERC site if anybody else wants it. I just don't want to overwhelm people because, you know, the ones that we do for practitioners are a little bit more geeky and technical, and some people get a little like blown away by it. But yeah, if you send it to them, that'll be fine. Or just put it in the thing here if you find it. Yeah, just put it in here and you can copy the link. And it had a little, I think there was a PDF that went with it. So you can give them both that, because the PDF had copies of the slides, but also some of the recipes were actually laid out. And Jay's not into making the recipes, but he might find somebody to do it for him. You should hire Diana.
I'm not into making suppositories.
Oh, I'm not either. I will admit I bought the suppository molds a year ago and I've taught everybody about making them and I haven't made them myself yet.
Really? Oh my gosh. Yeah, well, that's my excuse and I'm sticking to it. I owe Jay a box of goodies already.
Oh, that's okay.
Then I got hit by this World War III in my gut and the little beasties kind of were winning the war for a while.
Yeah, it's more important.
It's preventing me from doing a lot.
The pain creams are all in their box. They're little labeled, you know, and they just have to get put in the mail. So hopefully they'll go out tomorrow. Scott will take them to the post office.
You owe boxes too. I owe Jay a box from a while back. I'm sending him some of my goodies to try.
Oh, yeah. I want some goodies to try. Send me some too.
You have to give me the mailing address.
I'll give you my mailing address.
It's on the bottom. It's on the bottom of every email you get.
Oh, hello. I don't pay any attention to those little things.
If anybody wants to just drop by and visit me anytime, they'll just come on by because it's my home address. I keep telling Scott, get us one of those, you know,
P.O. box
center things. You know, because P.O. boxes don't work for a lot of things. You know, they don't want P.O. boxes. So just like it used to be called mailboxes, et cetera, where they actually give you and you have to go get the mail. But he's like, but then I have to go there and get mail. I'm like, nobody's going to send me anything from my email, right? It's just to put at the bottom of the email. You know, you can give vendors and stuff, still give them the home address, but I just want it for the bottom of my email. Like,
yeah. Anyway. We live so far out in the middle of nowhere that we don't have a mailman.
You have to go to the office.
We have a P.O. box.
Oh.
We have a P.O. box. And then we have a street address, but they don't deliver to our...
Some things don't deliver to us, P.O. box.
I know. Yeah. It's quite the conundrum. So, yeah, we have to ask, well, how are you shipping? You know, so it's challenging. And then if we...
Do I have your P.O. box? Because I don't want to send it to the wrong place. Let me double check.
It's P.O. box 6-18. But see, we've got a little thing with, there's a 4-digit zip code extension that I put the P.O. box number in when I have to use the actual street address.
All right. But, I'm going to look it up right now and make sure that what I have on your box.
Everything you guys have shipped here came, no problem.
Okay.
I don't remember if it was which way it came, but I know that everything's arrived.
It all has arrived. Okay. No problem. Yeah. And this will go as well.
Yeah.
We just pulled it out of the system.
Okay. Yeah, so what we did was we put our street address for like the UPS and the ones we're not sure about. But at the end of it, I put an apartment number, 618. That's my P.O. box. Mm. So otherwise, if sometimes UPS will just, they won't have time to finish the deliveries. They have a contract where they can drop all the packages that they didn't get to deliver at the post office.
Oh.
And then the post office has to figure out whose package that is. So every time that would happen, they would yell at us, you need to give them the right address. And it's like, look, you know who it is. You're yelling at me already. So anyway, we finally figured out a way. We put it as an apartment number, or, you know, apartment number 618, and then we put the zip code with the 0618 as the extension. Somehow they managed to find that acceptable now.
All right. Well, I'll just send them out to whatever I have on file, and you guys should be getting them. I don't know. It's Christmas time, so who knows what the delays at the post office are at this time of year. But, you know, we're sending it in a, you know, kind of an envelope, so you'll get it.
Yes, that's too cool. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And I will return the favor.
Yeah.
I'm sending Jay an assortment of goodies, and I'm sending a couple other people assortments. So, and yeah. Lynn's going to get some lavender. Oh, do you like lavender, Dr. Marie?
I love lavender, sure.
We grow it, so I'm going to send her some lavender that grew right here in Challis, Idaho.
Nice. So we need to figure out with Steph, because the webinar jam, that one on the skin no longer works.
We didn't get it and download it. That's not right. Who did that?
I don't know.
We're supposed to get an MP4 and load it up into our player.
Yeah, nope. It's not an MP4.
I think I know who did that.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you do.
And she ain't around anymore to yell at. The ghost of somebody who's not to be named, who has done a lot of...
That sounds like Harry Potter. He who shall not be named.
Oh, man. Darn. All right. So contact Steph and see if she has it. I always like to have an actual MP4 file. I don't want to trust anybody, you know, and then you upload the thing to our server and then make the thing available. Otherwise, somebody decides to cancel. Oh, I know why. If it's a webinar jam, she had canceled her account and then started it back up again because they were going to switch to something else. And she just let me know tonight that they're switching back to Webinar Jam. So I bet their account was canceled. And so that link was no longer any good.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, let her know.
Yeah.
Hopefully she downloaded it.
Fantastic. Okay.
All right.
Thank you
for guys. Thank you so much. Adios.
Okay. Bye.
Merry Christmas.
God bless. God bless, Paula.
We will see you guys. You can see me tomorrow on the show, the Vital Show or the Steph Show, but I won't see you. So bye.
Bye.